Blog Talk Radio. Steps to Christ. Chapter 4. Confession. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages, or perform painful penances, to commend our souls to the God of heaven, or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true Mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the Word of Truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of his power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in his ability to defend and vindicate his cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us. "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed. And unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgment of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. At first, their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3, 12 and 13. Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden? These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies, and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit and will not be acceptable to God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Like the poor publican, not lifting up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he will cry, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And those who do acknowledge their guilt will be justified, for Jesus will plead his blood in behalf of the repentant soul. The examples in God's word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. Paul did not seek to shield himself. He paints his sin in the darkest hue, not attempting to lessen his guilt. He says, "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11. He does not hesitate to declare that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary. And as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God. And it is written, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1, 9. End of chapter 4.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. I'll open with a word of prayer. Just like to welcome each and every one of you as we're coming together on this blessed preparation day, opening the Sabbath together and praise, giving honor and praise to the Lord. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we thank you ever so much for all that you have done thus far. Lord, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Help us, O Father, in all we say and do, that it will be to your glory, Lord. If we have sinned against you, sinned against anyone, please continue to reprove us and show us our wrongdoing or wrong ways or our thoughts, Father. We know your thoughts are not like our thoughts, O Father. It's evil. Our thoughts are selfish, O Father. But we want to have the mind of Christ Jesus so that we can finish the work together according to your will, Lord. Please bless each and every one that join us. Please be with the speaker, Lord. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. Bless him, O Father, and touch him even now as he's preparing, Lord. Help us to be on one accord. Help us to be unified. And we thank you again. We praise you. We glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. And I'd like to share a reading from Christ in the sacrificial system. Amen. And it says, the sin of our first parent brought guilt and sorrow upon the world. And had it not been for the goodness and mercy of God, would have plunged the race into hopeless despair. Wow. So if it has not been to our merciful God, we would have been plunged into helpless despair, and we ourselves would not have been here now. Even the world might have already been destroyed and you know, done away with. But God, through his mercy and grace, he loves us so much that he allow his son. Let me continue reading. The fall of men filled all heaven with sorrow. The world that God had made was blight with the curse of sin and inhabited by being doomed for misery and debt. And we still see that debt. We see a lot of misery. There appeared no escape for those who had transgressed the law. But divine love had conceived a plan whereby man might be redeemed. The broken law of God demanded the life of the sinner. In all the universe, there was but one which could, in behalf of man, satisfy its claim. So there was only one. Amen. Continue. Since the divine law is as God himself. So the divine law is as sacred as God himself. Only one equal with God can make atonement for its transgression. And we know who that is. I'll read just a little bit more. To man, the first imitation of redemption was communicated in the sentence pronounced upon Satan in the garden. The Lord declared, I will put enmity, hatred, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 15. Heavenly angels more fully open to their first parents the plan that had been devised for their salvation. Adam, his companion, were assured that notwithstanding their great sin, they were not to be abandoned to the control of Satan. Amen. And that goes for us too. The Son of God had offered to atone with his own life for their transgression. A period of probation would be granted them. Through repentance, faith in Christ, they might again become the children of God. So through repentance and a faith in no other than Christ, that we might also become children of God. So let us strive to be children of God. Let us strive to, share in this great work that we have to do upon this earth before the close. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us. And if there's anyone that has a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, this is the time that you can press 1 so that I can open your line. If you also like to offer a word of prayer, sing a song of meditation, this is your time also to participate so that you can give God the glory, the honor, the praise, and intervene on the behalf of your family and friends. Many of our family and friends are not within the fold, or they're in the world, and we know that we can't be, you know, both Christ and the world. It doesn't work like that. And I'll share part of devotion this morning, Romans 8. Romans 8, starting at verse 1. And it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So we should be walking after the Spirit. We're in the world, but we should not be of the world, have the mind of the world. Verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me and you free from the law of sin and death." So there is a law. There is a law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life, which is only in Christ Jesus, had made us free from the law of sin and death. So we see there's many laws, and this law of sin of death, we are free from it. I'll skip a little bit. Verse 4, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So we have to walk after the Spirit so that the law might be fulfilled in us. "For they that are after the flesh do mind those things that are of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So there's a struggle going on, brothers and sisters. Verse 6, "For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace." So when we're spiritual minded, we have life in Christ. We have peace. We have that life everlasting. And if we shall rest in our grave, we will be risen again once we're in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So we have to be in the Spirit. Amen? Two more verses. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If it so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him, his." So Christ tell us straight and plain that if we don't have the Spirit, we're not of his. "And if Christ be in you, the body is because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Amen. So we just want to thank the Lord for his reminder to us to be in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, commune with the Lord so that we can draw others and they can see our character and our life, that we have been with Christ. We have spent time with Christ, that we have given our life to the Lord. Amen. So if there's any that would like to share, now is the time, brothers and sisters. Please press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. Okay, amen. We have Sister Leola who would like to share. Amen.
Amen. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Tennessee. And I would like to just sort of sing the Ten Commandments. And it's going to begin with chapter 20, and I'm going to start with verse 1 through verse 17. "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thou thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Jehovah, the God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousand of them that love me and keep his commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Jehovah thy God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou shalt, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor maidservant, nor cattle, nor strangers that within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all them that is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, the Ten Commandments. I just want to thank you, brothers and sisters. I'm learning the Ten Commandments in a song by God's grace that I can get this down much better. I call myself practicing it, but I got to practice it a lot more. So, and I want to read Spirit of Prophecy. And it's on page, if you have your Bible, the Mission Study Bible, I'm reading on page 105. And it's talking about the Ten Commandments. It says precepts given to guard the Decalogue and consequences of continued transgression. The moral law was repeated in awful grandeur. From Sinai, Christ gave to Moses religious precepts which were to govern everyday life. These statutes were explicitly given to guard the Ten Commandments. They were not shadowy type to pass away with the death of Christ. They were to be binding upon men in every age as long as time should last. These commands were enforced by the power of the moral law, and they clearly and definitely explains that law. And I think that's all I'm going to read, and I'm going to give someone else time to read. So I just want to thank the Lord for this reading. And if you look on page 105, it got a lot of prophecy there. So you can go to it if you have the Mission Study Bible. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for sharing and also for singing the commandments. As she said, the commandments are not done away with. We still continue still to keep the commandment because we know it guards us and it keeps us safe. And we know all kingdoms have commandments, and these are the Lord's precious commandments that we should keep all the days of our life, and it should be taught to all generations. As said, we know there will be a curse upon those that don't love him and keep his commandments. So let us not be amongst that group, brothers and sisters. Amen. Anyone else have, anyone have a testimony, scripture reading, song of meditation you'd like to share at this time? Please press 1 on your telephone keypad, which will indicate to me that you would like to share. and I will open your line. Amen. This is sharing time, brothers and sisters. God want us to encourage each other to share, to be a blessing to someone. We never know the devotion that we had, our experience, our testimony, what it will do to others to encourage them and to help them in this journey of life. We all have ups and downs, but when we trust in the Lord and, you know, we're faithful continually, when we fall, we get up like the baby. They're trying to walk and they fall and they get back up and they try again. And the parents, the relative, encourage them on to keep going and laugh and cheer for them and pray for them and, you know, just show them how much they love them. So we should be doing the same as brothers and sisters. Amen. Okay. Again, please press 1 if you want to share, because later we won't have enough time to share. So this is sharing time right now so that everyone can get a chance to share. Okay. And I will read Romans chapter 12 until I get someone that would like to share. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1. And it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice. So our body should be a sacrifice, and we are living, so it's a living sacrifice. Amen? Usually in the past, they had dead sacrifice, but we are a living sacrifice. We know our Savior is a living sacrifice. So we want to thank the Lord. Continue, holy, acceptable unto God. So we should be holy, and so that God can accept us. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So if we do that, everything will come under it. It's a reasonable service. We owe the Lord our life. We belong to Him. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So we can't conform to this world practice, this world way of worship, but we have to be transformed. And how are we to be transformed? By the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we have to have that Christ-like mind. We have to be unselfish. We have to be kind, loving. We shouldn't have pride, jealousy, envy, backbiting, gossiping. We should have the mind, the love of Christ within our heart. Amen? I see someone has pressed 1, so I will go ahead and open the line again. Thank you for joining us. 508-838. Good evening. Your line is now open.
Hi, Sister Carla. This is Sister Richardson. Just calling to say, that is not on yet. So those who are on, and it's especially in the northern north, we can say happy Sabbath. So I will render a song. I'm not good in singing, but I'll try to sing a song in the old hymnal 531. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me, yeah, I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love and arms. He bound me to him. And wrong my heart still closely twined those ties which none can sever. For I am his and he is mine forever and forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He bled, he died to save me. I'm not alone, the gift of life, but his own self he gave me. Not that I own, my own I call, I hold it for the giver. My heart God, my strength, my life, my all, I is on his forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, all for to him is given. To guide me on my upward course and bring me safe to heaven. The eternal glory gleams afar to know my faint endeavor. So now to work, to war, and then to rest forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loveth me so well, what for my soul can sever, shall life or death, for earth or hell, no, I am his forever. Thank you, sister. God bless. Have a happy Sabbath day. Thanks. Hello.
Amen. I'm sorry, I was on mute. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Sister Richardson, for that song. And I thank the Lord for you and your husband and everything that you guys are doing and have done. May the Lord continue to bless you and direct you and put his loving arm around you. Amen. Thank you again. Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 on your telephone keypad so indicate to me that you would like to share, and I'll go ahead and open your line. Amen. 272-770. Your line is open.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hello. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Hi, Sister Carla.
Amen. Hello. How are you, Sister?
How are you, Sister Carla? This is Tamiko.
Yes.
Tamiko.
Tamiko.
Okay.
Yes. God bless you all. My brothers and sisters, happy Preparation Day Sabbath to each and every one of you. I love you very much. And I would like to read a scripture in the Bible, and if I may, I would like to sing a song. So I would like to read Psalms 91, 1 through 16. Okay, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for a beautiful, precious day, dear Lord. Thank you for all that you have given us and all you have done for us, Father God. I ask, Father God, that you let the Holy Spirit be my teacher, that you give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that I may read Psalm 91 and that everything I read may touch someone's heart and bring them and draw them closer to you. So I thank you again in the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. So Psalms 91 brings out, he who dwells in the most secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9 says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I shall satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen and amen. Now I would like to sing for my dear brothers and sisters on the line. I'd like to sing Standing on the Promises in your hymnals. It's page 518. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, though eternal ages with his praises ring, glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's word. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, dear Lord, for another precious day, and I thank you for letting me be on the line tonight with all of my beautiful brothers and sisters. I pray that everyone will be blessed by this beautiful Sabbath evening. And I pray that the Lord will cover each and every one of you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And may he wash you all as white as snow. In the precious and mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen and amen. Thank you so much, Sister Carla. Thank you for putting me on the line for tonight. God bless. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much for that song and for the scripture reading, my dear sister. Moment. Amen. May the Lord continue to bless you and be with you and your family and your endeavor as you draw closer to him to serve him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have two more calls that I need to open up. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. Please press 1 so that everyone can get a chance to share that would like to share before we open up for the speaker. Amen. So we want to be on time. 518-489. Happy Preparation Day. Your line is now open.
Okay. Praise the Lord, my dear brothers and sister. Mm-hmm. Happy Preparation Day. This is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. It's a pleasure for me to be on the line with my brothers and my sisters to listen to all these wonderful praises and promises from God, and I'm asking my dear brothers and sisters to continue to be faithful. God wants us to be ready, and if we be faithful with him in studying his words, we are able. We know he told us and his promises. If we're standing on the promises of God and be obedient to all these promises, we know that when he comes, he will take each and every one of us to that promised home that he had gone to prepare for us. This evening, brothers and sisters, I just want to give God thanks. You know, I said, I am just going to sit down and listen. You know, sometimes you just feel like you just want to just listen to my brothers and sisters without even saying anything, you know. But, you know, the Lord said, you know what, look what I have done for you. I have kept you during the 6 days, right? You was here and, you know, doing your little chore. I was with you. And this is the evening that I have given unto you, our preparation day and the Sabbath coming in. Oh, you have to give thanks because only God could do that for me. So I just want to give God thanks for my brothers and my sisters as a family. And I can look forward, my dear Sister Carla, look forward to hear the wonderful voice of each and every one of us who is on the line. So I will just offer a little prayer, a little word of prayer. You know, words cannot express my gratitude towards him. And as I was reading, studying his word, he said to us that we spend little time, less time in prayer, right? And this is the time it is very important for us to lift our voice to him and to pray for both ourselves, our family, and our brothers and sisters, and even the things that is in this world, as we have listed, that we are living in this world, but we are not supposed to be a partaker of the things of this world. So I will just have a word of prayer. What a friend do we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a blessed privilege, everything to God in prayer. Father, what a wonderful Savior you are to your children. We just want to give you thanks and praises for all what you have done. For gratitude, we have grant us, Lord Jesus, life. You have allowed us, dear Lord, with having food on the table. You gave us a shelter over her head. You allow us, dear Lord, to know who you are so that we can cry out to you. You gave us brothers and sisters that we can join, Lord. You make this little sanctuary for us, dear Lord. You are in the most holy sanctuary, but this sanctuary that you have given unto us here, that we can join, dear Father, despite of the crisis around, that we can come together, as you said in your word. Come, let us reason together. Although our sin is like scarlet, you can make it white as snow. You told us, dear Father, if we confess our sins, you will forgive us and cleanse us. And we know that all these promises are true. So, Lord, we just want to come to you this moment to give you thanks for the blessing. Lord, we lift up today, dear Lord, our dear Sister Carla. Father, give her the strength she need, dear Father. Oh, Lord, she has come encountered with a lot of patience, Lord, brothers and sisters. She has been showing her love, Lord. She has been opening up for others, dear Lord. She has been sharing the blessing that you have given unto her, dear Father. Lord, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Lord, and the knowledge and the true education that you have given unto her, dear God, that she can acquire, Lord, what you want her, because everything she have done, she have placed it and put it in your hands. So, Father, we ask you to continue to bless her and help her that she will be a light of the world, Lord Jesus, and also the salt, Lord. Lord, bless her, Lord, that she will be able to lighten the world with your glory, Lord, with the wisdom you have given unto her, she can teach others. And, Father, and that, Lord Jesus, we will hasten the work that you're coming before and looking forward for your coming, Lord. Now, Lord, we lift up our dear Sister Richardson, hear her singing songs, Lord. We give you thanks, praise, Lord, for what you have been doing with the Richardson family in Tennessee. Continue to bless them, Elder Richardson, out there, dear Lord, ministering, Father God, and also, dear, presenting your word to your brothers and sisters. So, Lord, we just ask you to bless them. We lift up Father, Sister Carla, Sister Leola, bless, keep, guide, protect her brother Ray. Lord, we lift up Nicole, Jarvis, and all the other grandchildren, Lord. We lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John. Father, we thank you for the blessing, Lord, the new light that you have given unto Brother John and Sister Brenda, dear God, the wisdom you have been giving them, the joy that is within Brother John Art, that he is expressing it, Lord, and also sharing it to the words that you have been giving him. Lord, he has been sharing it, and people have seen the fruit from there. The fruit of the Spirit within him, that his life has been changed. So, Lord, we just want to thank you for what you have done. Lord, we lift up the Brother Udi and Sister Calvere, Sister Melissa, Lord, and Sister Brother Caleb and Sister Elizabeth, and also lift up the grandparents, Lord, grandmother and grandfather, the work that they have done, Lord, in Arkansas with that health store, dear Father. You are so good. You are so great. You have been multiplying what them with the things, Lord, that they need, Father. You provide for them. And now, dear Lord, it is your little lighthouse, dear Lord, a lighthouse upon the hill, not only for physical food, but also for spiritual food, and that you will be there as a representative, dear Lord, that whosoever come there, dear Father, to purchase, Lord, that you will bless and you will keep and you will guide. So we leave it in your hand. We also leave him that he is a representative from you, Lord, taking care of many souls, Lord, and we know that the medical field is not at ease now, Lord, and the things that want and the strain that they have been putting on each other, Lord, on people. So we ask you to allow him that he will represent you, Father God. Give him the strength, Lord, that he will endure. And Father, you are so good. You are so great in everything. So we place him in your life. We also lift up Brother Bernard and also his wife. Father, we ask you to pour your blessings upon them and the ministry, Lord, that he has, Lord, doing witnessing and ministering unto others overseas. We ask you, Father, for your blessing, supply their many needs. We also lift up Brother Rick tonight, dear Lord. Bless, keep him with his work, Lord, and his, you know, he has physical work with his hands. We ask you for your protection towards him, and also bless his children, Lord, and Ashley, we place in your care. Father, we ask you to bless the churches, Lord, as he minister to his brothers and sisters there. Allow them to see the nearness of God and that to draw closer to you. We also lift up tonight, dear Father God, Brother Eli, our faithful little son, Lord, one who loves you as a youth, who is asking you, Lord, to allow the youths and that they can come together to study your words and that they can go out and share literature and tell others about you. And Father, we know that, dear Lord, you cry out for the younger generation, Lord, to continue to be faithful. So we ask you to give Brother Eli the strength, Lord, as he come. We pray for Jari, asking prayer for Jari, Javelli, Ishmael, and Daniel, his mother, himself, the house manager, and he pray for every member on Advent Light. You know all about them. So we just want to give you thanks. We also, dear Father, this evening, lift up Sister Tamika, in which we call her the baby. Lord, we have seen where you have brought her from, the son, the faith, and now she accepts the light of the world. And dear Father, she believes in your word, and I've been singing and giving you praise and sharing your word and testifying and asking you for prayer, Lord, for all her prayer requests as she presents, Lord, herself. She presents her mother. She has been blessed with her mother still alive. She presents, dear Father, her son, Tony, who is in prison. We ask you for love towards him so that he can share your words with others, dear. She also presents her other son in New York City, his wife, and also his children, Lord, and our daughter, Lord. She presents them to you, Elizabeth, in the nursing home, and also Miriam and Rochelle and the others, and she's crying out to you, asking you as the great physician to touch Pastor Duby, Lord, who your manservant used to present the word. Now he came down with cancer, Lord. We ask you as the great physician to touch his body at this time. Lord, bless and keep all of those requests, Lord, and those individuals. We also lift up Sister Payne. Lord, we thank you what you have done for Sister Payne. Father, you have been releasing her from the pain, dear Lord. You have been bringing her back, Lord, on her feet to do the missionary work that she used to do. And Lord, we ask you to bless her while she go out and present your blessings to others so that they can draw close to you and encourage others in this time. So we ask you, Lord, to continue to provide for her many needs. We also lift up Sister Lynn to you, dear Lord. You are the great physician. We place her in your care, in your hand. Lord, we also lift up tonight, dear Father. There are so many brothers and sisters on this line. We lift up Sister Stephanie, rejoicing and giving you praise for what you have done. Even a while ago, she called and was praising for what you have done with some requests, Lord, that she could share with the other siblings, and they all come, they agree with her plan, and dear Father, we know it's your plan, Lord, not hers. So we ask you to pour blessings upon them as she had give you thanks for Carja and what you have been doing with her, dear Lord, with the scholarship and making preparation to go to college. Lord, we ask you to strengthen her and the other students, not only Carja, the others, and we lift up KJ to you. Father, I lift up my other granddaughter, Christine, to you today with her four children. We ask you to pour your blessings upon them. Lord, you are so good. You are so great. Brother O'Neill, on the road morning and evening, we thank you for your protection towards him, taking him on the train. Now he is driving. We ask you to cover him under your wings as he go out with the ministry. Father, and they will be planning a health seminar. We ask you, Lord, to bless him, his little project, Lord, with healthy living. Dear Father, we ask you pour out your blessings upon him. Lord, many, many others on this line, Lord. Father, Sister Katie, as she prayed, Lord, for those two precious babies, we ask you, Father, for your love towards them, dear Lord, and give these little ones, Lord, and the parents the wisdom and the knowledge how to take care, dear Father, and how to train them in the fear of you. Father, Sister Nelda, we lift them up to you, Lord, and all our brothers and sisters, and if there is any name I do not call, Sister Cancinelli and Sister Barnaby, Father, we lift lift them up to you. So we ask you tonight to bless us, Lord. Brother Akeem James, Father, as a young pastor, we ask you for your blessings towards him. Bless us tonight while we continue, dear Lord. And those names, Lord, and I did not lift up, you know them, dear Father. So we place everyone at the foot of the cross. Help us, Lord, that we will be faithful, and one day soon and very soon, we all will be able to see you face to face, where we will live with you forever, Lord. Bless us that we will be obedient with everything we do, in Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. Thank you, brothers and sisters, to be patient. God bless. Bye-bye.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Powell, for coming on and sharing. My screen just went out just a moment. Amen. I'd just like to thank the Lord for your prayer, for your for you, and, you know, for the ministry that you're doing there in New York and Jamaica, and just being able to encourage others and pray for them. And testifying of the goodness of God, you can't hold back when the Lord has blessed you and put a joy in your heart and a testimony. You can't hold back. You just have to share. Amen. I'll go to the next caller again. Thank you for joining us. Happy Preparation Day, as the Sabbath is soon to come. Praise the Lord. May we be in the true spirit of worship. Worship. Amen. 985-232. Your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Humble, Louisiana. I want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up. I want to thank him for loving us. And I want to thank him for all he has done for us. Okay, I would like to read a prayer. Oh, Lord, when we think of our own faults, failing, or how much we ourselves have sinned, how can we think ourselves better than others? How can we look down on them when we are as guilty as they? We all need your forgiveness. We all need your grace. Teach us to love others and help others to turn from sin more and more day by day. Amen. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Lord. The words are written in front of us. We just need to pray for one another, love one another, and just move on. And thank the Lord for waking us up, watching over us in the roof of our head. It's so simple. Why are everybody stressing and just doing all this craziness? Because, you know, I'm just, you know, despite all kind of pain, sometimes I can't walk because I had a setback from COVID. Dr. Studio was doing so good. But I had a setback from COVID because the muscles and the joints is stiff now. Now I have to go to a therapist, and I'm going to the Y. He told me don't exercise till I go see a therapist. But I have to wait for some little Medicaid cards to come in, so it's taking long. I'm not doing much. I'm not going to push it because I don't mess something up. So I'm like, why can't people be happy? And I'm in chronic pain from the tip of my head to the tip of my toe all over. And right now I'm 57, but I still came a long way from death, like cat nine lives. And they can't be happy. They're doing all kind of things. They don't want to be happy. They don't want to love their family. They don't want to love mother, nobody. But they love God. Oh, I love me some Jesus. Don't go there. Because God loved you and gave his only begotten son. And y'all just chilling. Oh, you're messing with mother's your own children. You know, it's just too much going on. So, you know, I say that to say this. They just better get it right. And it's just so weird. And I'm like, I just stay away from them all because, you know, it's just bad. And try to tell all my little kids and all that. They say they know. They howl in a minute, my two grandchildren, and talk about them too. They go to everywhere, I try to tell them, don't talk about, but they loud, and they tell them by themselves. So I'm so glad they're wise, though. But it's just so good, Ms. John, be laughing of how good it is to live. And, you know, when it's food, Lord, we know how to put food together. And people just not happy. But I thank God. I'm really, truly blessed because I don't need much. We come up knowing how to make a meal, but we try to eat happy, and we make sure we eat happy. So I thank God, and I just want to keep everybody in prayer and all the leaders on the event like prayer line, and I pray that you all that's doing y'all business and schooling for the ministry. I know it's going to go up slow because God knows your heart and he knows you're willing and able. And y'all will get things intact. So God bless. And I just want y'all to pray for all our missing members and all the sick and all over. And pray for each and every one. Amen. I swear that'll be it. Pray for my family. No Brother John tonight. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing. Thank you for your prayer that you read, you know, whenever you come on and share. It's a blessing to be able to read prayer or pray prayer, sing song of meditation, prayers, and just glorify God in whatever manner of way with song or prayer or testimony. Amen. May the Lord continue to guide you, and may you continue to be a faithful witness, you and your husband and your family. Amen. I have one more caller. Amen. That has pressed one. Again, brothers and sisters, please press one if you have not shared yet so that I can open your line. 857-505, your line is now open.
Hello, Sister Carla. Hello, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath to all of you. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, beloved, have faith in God because God is good. God is awesome. He is worthy to be praised. And Sister Carla, I would like to thank God, too, for Sister Powers praying for me. Sister Powers praying for my mom. Sister Powers. I was praying for Brother Jerry. Continue to pray for them, Sister Power. Sister Carla, I have a prayer request. I have a lot of prayer requests before I sing a song. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mom. Lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, pray for my mom. Pray for me. Lift me up in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Brother Jerry. Lift up Brother Jerry in prayer, too, Sister Carla. Pray for Brother Jerry, and he could baptize to Sister Carla. Pray for him, Sister Carla, and he could be Seventh-day Adventist. Pray for Brother Jerry, and he can be Seventh-day Adventist. Pray for him, and he can baptize to Sister Carla. Sister Carla, don't forget to do a special prayer for him tonight. Do a special prayer for him tonight. Pray for Brother Jerry. Pray for Brother Javel. Pray for Sister Danielle. Sister Carla, don't forget to pray for Brother Isma, I-S-M-A, Brother Isma, Sister Carla, because Sister Power know how to spell it, I-S-M-A. Hey, Brother Isma, lift up Brother Isma in prayer. Brothers and sisters, child of God, brothers and sisters, have faith in the Lord because God is good. God is worthy to be praised. Brother Budna Lewis, may God continue to bless you. May God continue to guide you. God will deliver you at this moment. God will give you the victory. God will give you the victory at this moment. Sister Carla, that thing, victory is mine. Joy is mine. Brother Yudi, joy is mine. Victory is mine. Peace is mine. Happiness is mine. Brother Buddha, happiness is mine. Victory is mine, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, let's shout hallelujah. Let's shout hallelujah, Sister Carla, on this prayer line. Let's shout hallelujah, Sister Miola, on this prayer line, Sister Miola. Let's shout hallelujah. Let's shout hallelujah. Let's shout hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Sister Carla. Let's shout hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Let's sing victory is mine. Brothers and sisters, have faith in God because God have a plan for all of you on this prayer line. May God continue to bless you all on this prayer line. Sister Carla, let me sing a song. Sister Carla, for Brother Yudi, for Brother Bunda Lewis, let me sing a song. Victory is mine, victory today is mine, I told Satan to get it mine, victory today is mine, happiness is mine, happiness is mine, happiness today is mine. Come on, Sister Carla, sing with me. I told Satan to get it by. Happiness today is mine. Peace is mine. Peace is mine. Peace today is mine. I told Satan to get it mine. Peace today is mine. Happy day is mine. Happy day is mine. Happy day today is mine. I told Satan to get it mine. Happy day today is mine. Brothers and sisters, happy day is yours, brothers and sisters. Happy day is for us, brothers and sisters, all of us on this foyer line. Brothers and sisters, have faith in God, child of God, child of God, child of God, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, child of God, shout
Amen.
Hallelujah tonight, shout hallelujah
you,
tonight, Sister Carla, shout hallelujah tonight, Sister Carla, shout hallelujah, Brother Bernard, shout hallelujah, Brother Yudi, child of God, let's wake up, brothers and sisters, let's wake up, brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling you at this moment, Jesus is calling you at this moment to baptize in the name of the Lord. God is calling you at this moment, brothers and sisters. Let's give God praise. Let's give him the honor because he is good. He is worthy to be praised. Sister Carla, let's shout hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, let's shout hallelujah.
Yes, go ahead and pray, brother.
Let's hallelujah, brother Yudi. Shout hallelujah, hallelujah. May God continue to bless you, brother Yudi. May God continue to bless you with your ministry. May God continue to bless you, brother Buna. Shout hallelujah, Sister Carla. Shout hallelujah, give thanks to the Lord, blessed sisters. Shout hallelujah, Sister Carla, let's clap our hands. Shout hallelujah on this prayer line, child of God. Let's shout hallelujah on this prayer line, blessed sisters. Jesus is calling you at this moment to be faithful. Today is the day how the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it, blessings, sisters. Be glad in it, blessings,
sisters.
Be glad.
Amen. Thank you, Brother God Ina.
Praise
the Lord. Let us have a word of prayer. Amen. Thank you, Brother Elon. Amen. Kind and loving Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for Brother Eli, thank you for all that you have done and all that you're doing in his life, Lord, in his ministry towards him and his family, Lord. I thank you for blessing him. I thank you for forgiving him, O Lord. I thank you, O kind and loving Father, for his joy and the peace he have in you, Lord. Thank you for each one of my brothers and sisters on the prayer line for the participation, for the encouraging word, the scriptures, the reading, and the prayer that they have offered. It is truly good, Lord, to come together to praise you and testify of your goodness and talk about you, Lord, and share with others, oh, Lord. We all had a long week, Lord, but now it's the Sabbath that we may lay all our sins, our burdens down, oh, Father, that we will praise you and glorify and magnify your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for another Sabbath day of rest. Amen, amen. Thank you again, Brother Eli, for coming on and sharing. May the Lord truly bless you. Brother Jihari, your prayer request is that Sister Powell had prayed for them also and your faithfulness on this prayer line. Amen. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. If you'd like to offer a word of prayer, also press 1 so that I can open your line. Praise the Lord. Okay. I see no one else has pressed 1. Okay. Okay. So as we're waiting for Brother Yudi to come and join us, let me share a reading. Amen. I'll continue to read. Just a moment. Christ in his sanctuary. That's the, let me go back to the reading. Okay. And I am in, down below paragraph 21.1. It says, man offered his first sacrifice. To Adam, the sacrifice, the first sacrifice was a most painful ceremony. So it was very painful, and it was a ceremony. His hand must be raised to take life, which only God could give. It was the first time he had ever witnessed death, and he drew what? He knew that had he been obedient to God, there would have been no debt of man or beast. As he slew the innocent victim, he trembled at the thought that his sin must be shed. The blood of the spotless lamb, God, amen, that's Jesus. This scene gave him a deeper and more vivid sense of the greatness of his transgression, which nothing but the death of God's dear son could expiate. So only Jesus could be our substitute. Continue reading. And he marveled at the infinite goodness that would give such a ransom to save the guilty. A star of hope illustrated the dark and terrible future, and relieve it of its utter destruction. Adam was commanded to teach his descendant, his children, amen, and their children, and so on, which is us, the fear of the Lord, and by his example and humble obedience, teach them to highly regard the offering, which typify a Savior to come. Adam carefully treasured what God has revealed to him and handed it down by word of mouth to his children and children and children. At the cherubim guarded gate of paradise, the glory of God was revealed. And hither came the first worshiper. Here here, their altar was rare and their offerings presented. So an altar was raised, amen? And the sacrificial offering on every altar was seen a redeemer. With the cloud of incense arise from every contrite heart, the prayer that God will accept their offering and showing faith in the coming Christ. So this was before the dead of, before Christ came to redeem us. Amen. The sacrificial system committed to Adam was perverted by his descendant. May the Lord have mercy. So it was perverted by his descendant. Superstition, idolatry, cruelty, and licentiousness corrupted the simple and significant service that God has appointed. Through long intercourse with idolater, the people of Israel had mingled many heathen customs with their worship. Therefore, the Lord gave them at Sinai definite instruction concerning the sacrificial service. Amen. And there's question and answer. Why would only one equal with God atone for transgression of divine law? What meaning did the declaration of Genesis 3:15 have for Satan, for Adam and Eve? And also, why was a period of probation granted? And that's Genesis 20. So it gives us question and answer as you continue to read. So if you can read this in your spare time, brothers and sisters, and read the testimony, your Bible, and pray and ask God to reveal himself more fully to you and have his Holy Spirit lead you and guide you into all truth. Amen. So I will play a song of meditation. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, just want to make sure I didn't overlook anyone who would like to share or pray. I thought someone else had pressed one again. If you have shared already and you would like to pray, please press, take yourself off the host line. Take yourself off the line. By pressing 1 and then press 1 again, so that will indicate to me that you would like to share if you haven't shared or if you want to offer a word of prayer. Amen? Amen. Amen. I don't know if Elder Richardson, he might be busy. I just wanted to see if he can give us a song of meditation also, or a prayer. I think his line. Okay, I don't think I see him on the line. Okay. Amen. So we'll have a selection. Just a moment, please.
Okay, good evening, brothers and sisters. I would like to share with the brothers and sisters, Holy Day, Jehovah Rest. And this is Sister Leola. Holy Day, Jehovah Rest, of creation week, the best. Last of all the chosen seven, blessed of God, 'twas man was given. Welcome, glad we held his presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah Rest. First the 6 day work was done, then the Sabbath was begun. Thus he blessed the 7 day, thus in resting we obey. Welcome, glad we held his presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah Rest. Thousands have his plans reversed, resting now upon the first. Search the book and you shall know, there's no scripture tell them so. Welcome, glad we held his presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah Rest. All who speak the truth must say, it was man who changed the day. In God's word no change appear, through the whole 6,000 years. Thus I search, and when I saw only one great Sabbath law, and then I hastened to obey. Plainly, 'twas the only way. Welcome. Glad we held his presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah Rest. Oh, thank you, sisters and brothers, and let us just offer a prayer. Oh, our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we come to thank you, Lord, for your Sabbath day, this Sabbath day that we are here resting, and all the whole world, Lord, is up in turmoil, and they are confused, and they hustling, bustling, but, Lord, you have given your people a rest, a promise. So, Lord, as we resting in you and we are worshiping and keeping your holy Sabbath a rest to your people. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for this blessing day. Lord, that we can rest our body, our mind, our soul from all these things that throughout the week. So, Father, we thank you. We asking you to bless each and every one, Lord, that appreciate God rest his Sabbath day, his 7 day Sabbath. And, Lord, Father, we ask you to also bless everyone that are worshiping on your Sabbath day and that will worship tomorrow. We ask that you keep us, Lord, protect us, give us a rest for night tonight and a peaceful rest.
Yes, Lord.
And, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for all these blessings that you bestow upon us, blessing this prayer line, each and every brothers and sister on the prayer line. Oh, my sister, I heard, and so many others. So we just thank you, Father, for your Sabbath. And we also pray for Brother Udy. We're lifting him up to you, Lord, as he bring the word to us tonight. Lord, Father, I know that he was exhausted because he said he had a long day, an 18-hour day. Now, Lord, Father, I'm asking you to give him peace. I'm asking you to put the word in his mind that you may use him, lead and guide him. Father, we thank you, and we ask you to bless his family. And all these things we ask in your son, Yeshua's name, we do pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming on and sharing the song and also for praying. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I see that someone has pressed one, so I'll just open this line before Brother Udy come on and share. 518-650. Your line is open.
Thank you for opening my line. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany. I was late this evening, but I thank God for his keeping care and for his tender mercy. I'm just going to sing a little song and pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Break us, melt us, mold us, fill us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Oh, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your high and holy name. Lord, I just want to thank you for your Sabbath that you have blessed. You have sanctified it. You have set it apart as a holy day. Oh, God, thank you, dear God. Safely to another week, you have brought us on our way, oh God. And now we come seeking a blessing, Jesus, sitting at your feet, dear God. Forgive us for our unworthiness, our unholiness, and our sinful action, dear God. Wash us and cleanse us from all that is unlike you, dear Jesus. And draw us closer and closer to you. Father, there is nothing we can do on our own. But we are asking you, Lord, to draw us closer to you, O God. Wrap your loving arms around us. Mold us and fashion us, O God, into your likeness for what you want to be. Creating us clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within us. Lord, cast us not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from us, O God. Jesus, Heavenly Father, we come kneeling right before you, dear God, at your feet. Lord, you said we must trust in you with all our heart, O God, and lean not unto our own understanding. Heavenly Father, in all our ways, O God, help us to acknowledge you, because you, God, will direct our path. Help us not to be weary in well-doing, but to do our best, O God. Only our best is good enough so that you can give us a blessing. O God, we are fortunate, O God, because we can talk, we can walk, we can go about. There are so many who cannot move, but, oh, God, I put them into your hand tonight. Today is your healing day, oh, God. You heal on the Sabbath, and you do a lot of good on the Sabbath. So, Father God, help me to pray for each and every one. And if there is healing, oh, God, please, Jesus, help us all to be healed. Put this prayer line into your hand with all of us on this prayer line into your hand, dear God. You are a loving and a mighty and a powerful God. And there is nothing too hard for you, Jesus. I'm asking you to anoint us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. all of us along with our families, oh God, far and near, draw us closer and closer to you, Jesus. Bind us with cords that cannot be broken, dear God. Heal every sick. Feed every hungry, oh God. Clothe every naked and open shelter for every homeless. Oh God, I put this world into your hand. This world is not a good world and it's not an easy world, oh God. And so many things are happening day by day, dear God. This world was created by you, dear Lord. And you are fed up of what is going on. But, oh God, give us another chance so that we can make our calling and election sure, dear God. Father, into your hand I put everything. Be with every pastor, every church all over the world, oh God, and be with the government, Jesus. I'm asking you to help them to come close to you and to ask you for leading so that everything may be done according to your honor, your glory. Lord, be with every workplace. Be with each and every hospitals, oh God, every nursing homes, all the sick patients, all the doctors, all the nurses. Lord, you see what is going on. You see how we need you, we need you, we need you, dear God. Because we are sinners and we are full of sin. And you said if we are called by your name, if we will humble ourselves and pray, oh God, turn from our wicked ways and seek your face, you will hear from heaven and you will forgive our sin and you will heal this land. Oh God, please forgive our sins and please heal the land, oh God. And please, Lord, help us to do the things that is pleasing in your eyes. You're a mighty and a powerful God. You're a miraculous God. You're a healing God. You're a prayer answering God. Lord Jesus, you said we must let not our heart be troubled. We must believe in you. Because you've gone to prepare a place for us and you will come again, oh God, and receive us unto yourself. That where you are, we may be there also. Lord, what a promise. Thank you for your promise, dear God. Lord, use our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. This is troublesome time. We are in so many trouble, oh God. Please, Jesus. Please, Lord, have mercy upon your people according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercy, oh God, blot out all our iniquity and our sins and cleanse us and wash us from all unrighteousness. Father God, as you speak, I come, I put him into your hand, and word that he speak, let it not be, come from his mouth, but let it come from your throne. Continue to lead, continue to guide, continue to have your way, Lord. And Lord, whatever our need, oh God, please, Jesus, supply it according to your riches in glory. This world is yours, and everything in the world belongs to you, Lord. So, Lord Jesus, take full control. And divide it and give what you want to give to whoever you want to give it to, your God. Jesus, you are not in favor with no one more than the other. You love each and every one of us. But because of the sin, oh God, only the sin. And you want us to help to get rid of the sin. So, Lord Jesus, if we are humble and come boldly before you, dear God, you will wash us and cleanse us and purge us and draw us closer and closer to you. Lord, continue to guide us, continue to protect us, continue to touch our body, continue to heal our body, continue to sanctify and cleanse our body and purge our body. And if there is anything in our body that is unlike you, Lord, rebuke it, remove it, and destroy it. And let your Holy Spirit take full control. Lord, thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering, oh God. And whatever I fail of asking, you fail not to grant it unto me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit, I pray, and I give you thanks. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for the prayer and for the song. May the Lord continue to richly bless you and your family. Amen. Now open the line for Brother Yudi. 518-409, your line is open.
Amen. Thank you very much, Sister Carla, for
Amen.
Opening up the line tonight. I want to thank, as I called, I heard Sister Leola's praying. I want to thank the Lord for helping Sister Leola to get back to her from her destination. And to be able to join all of us tonight, and the Lord knows the struggles of his people, and God sees things that his people cannot do on their own. And so I just want to thank him for this past week, and even the prayer of my dear sister from Albany, and all of those that have been praying. It has been a interesting week, to say the least, but God has been blessing in every step of the way. The enemy wants us to be sad. He wants us to be ashamed of who he is. And though the world stand against us, the Bible tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It's been a week that I cannot describe, but I'm not going to murmur and complain. I'm going to give it all to the glory of God. As we open up the word, we're going to have a short word tonight. We're going to ask for the Lord to bless us as we contemplate God's mercy and God's goodness. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privileges that we have been given to be able to study thine word. Thine word, O God, is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Enlighten our paths, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. My friends, we are now looking into the message of Christ taking part of the same. Again, our message title is Christ taking part of the same. What is it that Christ took part of? Let's go to the book of John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter, we will read beginning at verses 1 through verses 14. And if it is okay tonight, we will go a little bit longer as we study the Word of God together. John, the first chapter. And can we get a reader tonight? Let us read the Word of God without interruption. John, the first chapter. I need somebody to read verses 1 through verse 14. If we can quickly have a reader tonight. John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 14.
Amen. Sister Leah will read John 1.
Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless his word.
Amen. It's in the beginning of the word, right? In the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
That's the chapter.
Yeah.
Okay. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bears witness of him and cries, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.
Amen.
Okay, I think that used to be 14. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you very much, Sister Leola, for the reading of the word. There's a lot here that tells us about Christ taking part of the scene. Now, I want you to look at what the Bible tells us regarding Christ taking part of the scene, right? The Bible tells us that in the beginning was what? Was the Word. And that the Word was with God, and that the Word was God. And then it tells us, if you look at verse 3, it says, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. But in him was what? In him was life. And the life was the light of man. If Christ made all things, then is it safe to say that he existed before all things? The words spoken in regard to this are so decisive that no one need to be left in doubt. Christ was essentially God. Christ was God, essentially. And so, in the highest sense, he was with God from all, what, friends? From all eternity. I want you to understand this topic clearly. Even though he took part of the same, even though the Bible tells us that verse number 14, that he was made what? He was made flesh. And he did what? He dwelt among us. Friends, we need to really understand how much of a miracle the plan of salvation or the plan of redemption is. To have a God that the heavens could not contain, right? Bible tells us that the heavens cannot contain God. God is bigger than the heavens. In fact, the heavens is his resting place and the earth is his footstool. A God who existed from an eternity and beyond in the past actually becoming part of the same, becoming part of the same human flesh. The apostle would call our attention from ourselves to the author and the finisher of our faith, Christ Jesus. He presents before us tonight two natures, all right? A divine and a human nature, right? The way we see that, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and let's look at this concept of Christ taking part of the same flesh as you and I. Philippians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 5 through 8. Well, another reader. Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 8. Because this is an interesting point. It is an interesting concept that we often take for granted the plan of salvation, what God was able to do, and the giving up of his only begotten Son so that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. This was no small miracle, my friends. Out of heaven, Christ, who had been with him since the beginning, and to make him man, to put him in the womb of a woman, and to bring him back to a, to bring him through a process of being birthed out of that same woman, a woman with flesh and blood, and to take Christ's memory from eternity and beyond and to change that and turn him into a baby and put him in a manger and having him start to live a life upon this earth, even as each and every one of us have passed through from our mother's wombs, was a miracle, friends. This was no small miracle. And we are told that even in heaven we will study this miracle, we will study this mysterious act that heaven did until an eternity. Are we together, friends? We're in Philippians, the second chapter. Let's look at verses 5 through 8. Bible tells us in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was what? Also in Christ Jesus. Here the Bible is inviting us to have the mind of Christ Jesus. Do you understand, friends, that Jesus' mind was a mind that existed from eternity in the past? A mind that has all wisdom. A mind whose wisdom its brain could not contain. Yet God took this mind and turned it into the mind of a child and brought him back to this earth, brought him to this earth through the process of birth, taking part of the same flesh, taking part of the same blood. For what purpose? Let's look what it says. Verse 6. Let this mind be in you, which was also in what? In Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. Did you hear that? Who being in the what? Form of God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So Christ was what? Equal with God. They were playing on equal fields, right? It says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but what did he do, friends? But he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of what? A servant. So Christ essentially left his divinity, clothed his divinity with humanity, for the purpose of being a servant. Now, this is an interesting topic. How can an individual who is the likeness of God himself, an individual who took part of the creation of the world. The Bible tells us this now. We read it in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Christ, in the likeness of God, in the beginning with God, now the Bible says, he took upon him the form of a servant. For what purpose? Because if Christ had come in his divinity, the world would have been unable to behold or receive him. He had to come among his own, even though his own receive him not. He had to clothe his divinity with humanity and allow God to use him, to make him to be a baby. And he had to go through the same process of each and every one of us had to go through. He had to depend upon his mom for food. At one point in his life, he had no teeth. He could not chew. He had been unable to always use the bathroom on his own. He had to learn to crawl. He had to learn to roll in bed. He had to learn to stand up. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to eat. He had to learn to grow. He took part of the same for one purpose, in order that we may have life, in order that we might be saved. If someone were to ask you, Sister Leola, or Sister Carla, or Sister Paul, or anybody, or any brother and sisters on this line, if someone were to ask you, how would you feel about going back into your mother's womb and starting your life all over again, leaving whatever life you have right now behind? I understand some of us probably would actually want that, right? But to start our lives all over again, to lose every memory that we have had of our children, of our husbands, of our families, listen carefully, and to go back into the womb of our parents in order to restart life all over again. How would we feel about this experience? How many of us would say, okay, I will leave my children, my family, my husband, my wife, my niece, my nephews, whatever it may be, behind, and they will continue with life as it is. I am going to return back into the womb of my mother and start from the moment an egg is fertilized by the sperm and relive and restart all over again. You know, as crazy as this sounds, and how many of us would not want to do that, because we've already been through some experiences in our life, and we have a family, and we wouldn't care to go back to that infancy, babyhood, or even embryo into our mother's womb, while life continues for those that we love. Christ did more than that. See, Christ was never born prior to being born the first time. Christ had been with God from eternity in the past. Watch me carefully now. He was the God of the universe. And from the beginning, he had been the one that created the worlds, created the universe, created the angels. And yet, for the sake of coming on this planet to save sinners, of whom I am chief, he said, I'm going to put aside all of this glory. I'm going to put aside all of my power. I'm going to put aside all of my worship that is due to me. I'm going to put aside the adoration and admiration of the angels, and I'm going to come to planet Earth in order that I might save one soul from sin and from degradation. Do you understand, my friends, what Jesus did for you? The Bible says, we're still in Philippians 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. Do you understand what that means? How many of us would make ourselves of no reputation today? Think about your business that you're involved with. Maybe you're a carpenter. Maybe you are a lawyer. Maybe you are a doctor. Maybe you are at some point in your life where you've established yourself to be somewhere in life, where you're in a position of authority, maybe, where you're in a position of power, where you're in a position where others listen to you when you give orders. And what if somebody were to tell you at your job, I want you to start back from the beginning where you were, and I want you to unlearn all of the things that you have learned and to begin as a servant, to begin as a novice. Christ did that, but he did infinitely more. You know, it wasn't until Christ was about 12 years old that he was reading the Bible, then it came to him, it came to himself, he came to his senses and he realized that, oh my, I am the sacrificial lamb. It wasn't until he was about 12 years old that Christ was reading the Bible and he had realized that Isaiah 53 was about him. This memory he was not born with, friends. He had to learn everything all over. And when he come to the realization that he is the Son of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, when he came to the realization that he was a special child and that he would be the one, the Messiah that was to come, it blew his mind away. And he did not back down from the will of God, friends. Bible tells us that he made himself of no reputation, have mercy. And he took upon him the form of a servant. He took upon him the what? Form of a servant. He did not take upon him the form of divinity. He did not come. You know, if some of us knew we had special powers, how much would we boast to use them? How much would show others what we can do, right? That was not the case with Christ. He was content. He was happy to make himself of no reputation. And the Bible says in verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became what? He became obedient unto death. Now, when Christ came to the realization that it would be he that was to be slain on Calvary's cross, and he realized this very early on in his life, he did not rebel. He could have rebelled. He could have said, no, I'm not going through this. I'm not going to be groomed and raised for the purpose of being sacrificed. He could have said that. He could have backed down from the will of God. But he thought about you, thought about me. And he said, I will go through with this sacrifice. He said, Father, if it is thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Bible tells us we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Therefore, as man is since he became subject to death, this is what we see Jesus to be in his place as man. For it became him, by whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto the glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 2, verse 10. Thus, my friends, in becoming man, it became him to become such as man is. Man is subject to sufferings. Therefore, Christ put himself through sufferings. It became him to come to the man where he is in his suffering. Christ came to man where we are in our sufferings. He did not tell us to come up to him, but he came down to us. He came to experience our experiences. He came to suffer even as we suffer, so he can be able to help us in our sufferings. Are you suffering tonight, my friends? Just know that Christ is not indifferent to our experiences. The Bible tells us that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he is without sin. Christ is not indifferent, meaning he is not uncommon to our suffering. He understands what we go through as a people. Are you following me, my friends? For as much, the Bible tells us, Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Did you hear that? There is nothing that you can experience, my dear sisters and brothers, that Christ has not yet experienced. Nothing. So when I am murmuring and complaining, Christ says, you know what? I've been through that and more. When we are being talked about, Christ says, I've been through that and more. When we are being maligned, Christ says, I've been through that and more. When our characters are being placed upon the throne of sacrifice, Christ says, I've been through that. In his human nature, he took the same flesh and blood as we have. All the words that could be used to make this plain and positive are here put together in a single sentence. The children of men are partakers of flesh and blood, and because of this, he same. But this is not all, friends. He also took part of the same flesh and blood as that of which the children are partakers of. And that's not all. He also himself took part of the same flesh and blood as that of which the children of men are partakers. No, yet, that's not all either. He also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood as that which men are partakers. Thus, the spirit of inspiration so much desires that this truth shall be made so plain and emphatic as to be understood by all, that he is not happy to use any fewer than all the words that could be used in telling of it. Therefore, it is declared that just as certainly as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood. And this he did, order that through death he might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. Jesus took part of the same flesh and blood, that he might deliver us from the bondage of sin and from the fear of death. Here it is, friends. Here it is. This great truth of the blood relationship, the blood brotherhood that we share with Christ, is taught in the gospel in Genesis. For when God made his everlasting covenant with Abraham, the sacrifices were cut in two, and he with Abraham passed between the pieces. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. I want somebody to read verses 8 through 18. Go to Genesis chapter 15, verses 8 through 18.
Genesis 15, verse 8 through 18. Okay. And it reads, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall be inherited, I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a man of a ram, I'm sorry, ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them into the midst and laid each piece once against another, but the bird divided he not. Continue. And when the fowl came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was upon, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Wow.
Right.
And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Verse 15. And thou shalt go to thy father in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Mm-hmm. And it shall come to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passes between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Amen.
Amen. So Amen. God, the God made the covenant with Abraham, right? And then what did he do? He passed between the two. You see this in Jeremiah 34, verse 18 and 19. Let's go to Jeremiah 34, verse 18 and 19. What are we saying, friends? That this great truth of the blood relationship and the blood brotherhood between Christ and man is being taught here in the gospel of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 34, verse 18 and 19, let's go there. Jeremiah chapter 34, Jeremiah 34, 18 and 19, then we'll read Hebrews 7, 5 and 9. Go to Jeremiah 34, 18 and 19. Jeremiah 34, somebody else read that. Or you can read again, Sister Carla, Jeremiah 34, 18, 19.
Open it up. Go ahead.
And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between mm-hmm. the parts thereof, the prince of Judah and the prince of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests, and all the people of the land which passed between the parts of the calf.
Mm. So what did they do with the sacrifices? They cut them in two. And who passed between them?
The prince of Judah, the prince of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, and the priests, and the people of the land.
That's right. So God eventually passed through the sacrifices. There is a great truth that is being taught here, and that is the truth that the brotherhood that we share between Christ and man. Also in Hebrews 7, 5 and 9, Hebrews 7, 5 and 9, Hebrews 7, verses 5 and 9, we're coming to a close. Christ took part of the same. Hebrews 7, verses 5 and 9.
Amen. Hebrews 7, 5 and 9, or 5
Amen.
Through 9.
5 through 9.
And verily they that are of the sons of the Levites who receive the office of priesthood, or the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take the tithes of the people according to the law that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and bless him that had the promise. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that died received tithes, but there he received them of whom it is written, of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. As I may say, Levi also, whom received tithes, pay tithes in Abraham.
Amen. Hmm. By this act of the Lord, entered into the most solemn covenant known as the Oriental, or to all mankind, the blood covenant. And therefore, he became blood brother. Christ became a blood brother. To who? To Abraham. Are you seeing this, friends? A relation which outranks every other relation in life. This great truth of Christ's blood relationship to man is further taught in the Gospel of Leviticus. In the Gospel of Leviticus, there is written the law of redemption of man and their inheritance, right? So when any one of the children of Israel had lost their inheritance or lost themselves, they had been brought into bondage, right? We saw that. Was their redemption provided after they were brought into bondage? The answer is yes. If he was able of himself to redeem himself, the person in bondage, or his inheritance, he could do it. But if he was not able to himself redeem himself, then the right of redemption fell to his nearest kin in blood relationship. It did not fall only to one who was near of kin among his brethren, but to the one who was nearest of kin, who was Abel. I'm going to give you some scriptures to read in your own time. Leviticus 25, 24 to 28. Leviticus 25, 47 through 49. Ruth 2, verses 20. Ruth 3, verses 9 and 12. Ruth 13, verses 4, Ruth 4, verses 1 through 14. Thus, in Genesis and Leviticus, there has been taught through all ages the very truth which we find here taught in the second chapter of Hebrews, the truth that man has lost his inheritance. Sister Leola, you read that? We have lost our inheritance, right? But remember, in the gospel, when somebody loses their inheritance, there's only two ways they could gain it back. Either by them buying it back or by their next of kin buying it back. And who's our next of kin in the Bible scripture? Who is our next Christ. Of kin? Christ.
Christ.
Christ is our next of kin. Now, Christ is our next of kin. He's actually our brother. This is why we call God our Father, which art in heaven. So if Christ is our Father and Jesus is the Son of God, what does that make Christ?
The brother.
Our brother. Yes, my friends, yes, yes. We're getting this now. Because what this says, my friends, is that he is our next of kin. And he was able to purchase what? Our inheritance back. This is what we call the right of redemption. The right of redemption had to fall to the nearest of kin who is able to purchase back the inheritance of those who had lost it. And so Jesus Christ is the only one in all the universe that was able to purchase back our inheritance. Look at what it says. He was the only one purchase our inheritance. And therefore, if he was the only one that could purchase our inheritance, he must have been a blood relative. Friends, Jesus is our blood relative. Therefore, as the children of man are partakers of what? Flesh and blood. He likewise did what? He likewise took part of the same. Let me show you this again in Hebrews 4, verse 15. Go there. Getting ready to close. Hebrews 4, verse 15. We're going to see this all throughout the scripture. Hebrews 4, verse 15 now. A few more scriptures and we close. Hebrews 4, verse 15. Our blood relative. Jesus Christ is not just anybody, friends. He understands our experience. He understands our struggles. Hebrews 4, verse 15. We have a reader on that one.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 reads, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin."
Wow. What does it say about our high priest?
He was tempted.
I want you to put it in your own words. What does that scripture say?
Look at that scripture
very carefully.
He went through the same situation that I went through. He went through the same temptation, the same thing, but he was yet without sin, showing that it is possible to be without sin.
Yeah. Okay. And so my question then is, why did Christ himself suffer being tempted? Why did he suffer? So that he could rescue those that are tempted, to redeem those that are tempted, right? He was touched with our feelings of our infirmities. So the only way in which he could possibly be tempted, like as we are, was for him to become in all things less like as we are. Do you agree with that? So he took our human nature. Can I show you this in Matthew 8, verse 17? Go to Matthew 8, verse 17. Matthew 8, verse 17. Look at this closely. Matthew 8, verse 17, friend. You see Matthew 8, verse 17? Somebody have it? Somebody has Matthew 8, verse 17. Amen.
"That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness." Amen.
He took our infirmities. So he didn't just come and pretended to be like us, but he took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses. Now, there's an important point we need to understand. Was Christ sick?
No.
He was not sick, but he bare our sicknesses. In other words, whenever healing takes place, whether it is a fever, whether it is a headache, whether it is whatever we are suffering from, right? Whenever healing takes place or must take place, first of all, Christ experiences what we experience. You know, when you have a fever, Christ actually experienced your fever? Yeah. He actually experienced your pain. When you're in pain, he is suffering as well. There's something else he does that is more than that. Just like he bore our sins, or he still bears our sins, he also bears our infirmities and our sicknesses. So in order for healing to take place, Christ had to purchase every bad thing that was about us and put it upon himself. Whenever healing takes place, whether it is cancer, whether it is diabetes, one must understand it is only done by Christ bearing our sicknesses. Do we understand that, my friends? And so Christ was a partaker of our flesh and our blood. He likewise, friends, took part of the same. And so we need not fear tonight. We need not worry. We need not doubt that Christ feels our woes, that he feels our infirmity. He is our kin, next of kin. He's our blood brother, and he understands. He understands our weakness. John 5, verse 30 says that he was as weak as we are, and of himself he could do nothing, right? You know, Christ could do nothing of himself. He was just as weak as we are. But he did not rely upon his human strength, but he simply relied upon what? He simply relied upon the strength of God. Therefore, his name is called Emmanuel, which is called God with us. Not God with him only, but God with us. God was with him in eternity and could have been with him even though he had not given himself for us. But man through sin became without God, and God wanted to be again with us. So therefore, Jesus became us, that God with him might be God with us. And that is his name, because that is what he is. Blessed be his name, my friends. And this is the faith of Jesus and the power of it. This is our Savior, one of God and one of man. And therefore, able is he to save to the uttermost them that come through God by him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our next of kin, our blood brother, who passed between the sacrifice, who was the sacrifice, who purchased back our inheritance that was stolen. We were put in bondage and slavery to sin, and literal slavery to Egypt. And Lord, you have allowed us to come before you tonight to deliver us from bondage. And the Sabbath is one of the greatest signs that we've been delivered. If we recall that when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they had forgotten about the Sabbath. They had forgotten this covenant that you had made with them. And Father, as they were in bondage for many, many years, they had forgotten that you had delivered them through the Red Sea and had fed them in the wilderness with manna. After 400 years and four generations of new children being born, they had forgotten their inheritance. They had lost their inheritance. And Father, you brought them back by a mighty hand. And the first thing you said to them was, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You said, let my children go that they may worship me. And worship is ever associated with the fourth commandment. And so the keeping of the fourth commandment symbolizes that we are no longer slaves, and that we acknowledge our blood kin brother who saved us from our sins and from iniquity. Oh, we thank you, dear Lord, for the lesson at hand tonight. We pray that you will help us to understand our value in you, Father. Some of us lost our value when we were in the world. We didn't see ourselves. Many of us have children who do not know their value, so they're giving their lives to drugs and to alcohol because they don't understand this lesson that we just learned, dear Father. I lift up Sister Leola's son before your presence. I think of him at this time. We've been praying for Jarvis, dear Father, on this line. We know that the angels of God are encamping around him even tonight.
We pray that you will touch his heart, dear Father, where he is, that he would realize his value in you, Father, that he would come to his senses as the prodigal son, dear Father, who was eating the foods of the pig, and then when he woke up, he said, how much is my father's servants being fed with great feasts, and yet I lay here and eat the foods of the pig? And Lord, this prodigal son had realized the father that he was talking about was not his earthly father, but it was his heavenly father. I pray that he would come to his senses tonight. I lift up those on this line who have special prayer for their children. Think of Brother Rick. In prayer for Ashley and his other daughters. Lord, I think of my children who are yet young, but the enemy wants to steal them away. Sister Powell's children, Sister Carla's children. Everyone on this prayer line who I cannot see or hear at this time. Oh, bring us back, dear Father, at your feet to worship. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We pray for Sister Deborah's son, your Tristan, that she's lifting up this week. We ask that you would touch his heart and his mind, his brother Matthew and her daughter too, Father. Lord, we ask that you would touch each and every individual on this line tonight. Let us, when we leave this line, remember this lesson tonight. Our next of kin, have mercy, Lord. The one that can be contacted with all our sorrows, with all our problems. The one that sees our pain. Oh, Father, deliver us from the bondage of sin. And we thank you, Father, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Yudi, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. What a blessing to come on and to study the Word of God and, you know, to be in his presence. The Lord is truly good and is worthy to be praised. Amen. May everyone have a good night. May you be blessed. And may you share the love of God and the scriptures that you have read and or study, you know, that you have went through. May you share it with others, especially those that wants to learn and wants to study. Amen. Jesus love you, brothers and sisters. Okay. Continue to be faithful. Thank you. Have a good night. God bless. Come back.